This is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. Got a lot of feedback. I'm sorry about the phone connection with our guest last half hour with the father of the State Patrol trooper, because it was so powerful and he was so emotional, and it sounded better in my headphones than it did over the radio. So I'm sorry that I wasn't
we
able
tried to fix it, which just made you sound bad, and oh, yeah. That was a nightmare.
Yeah, but
I just wanted it to work out so bad.
Yeah, so we tried to equalize it on the fly there, but anyway, sorry about that, because I really appreciated everything that father had to say, and his trooper son will indeed remain in our prayers. Okay, we've got a lot of news to get to here, including this. So Jay Inslee is going to hold on to emergency powers for 32 more days. His vaccine mandate remains in place. Now, Nicole, you had to get the vax. Was it vax and a booster to go to Hawaii?
No, I just got Johnson & Johnson trying to go to Hawaii.
Okay. I got the vax. I still think for people my age, the vax makes sense, although I'm not getting any more boosters because I've been doing a lot of research on this. I don't think that any healthy people under the age of 40 need the vaccine or a booster. And I've said that from the get-go. And that's why I think this vaccine mandate that Jay Inslee has is so absolutely despicable, because it takes away freedom of choice. I mean, if you want to make a living, if you want to keep your job, Jay Inslee's going to make you inject something. And here's the thing. There is a growing body of evidence that I'm seeing that indicates the vaccine may be more dangerous than the possibility of COVID for healthy people under the age of 40. And I'm just sick, because I've talked to all my daughters who all got vaccinated, but they've been doing all the same research, and they've all said, yeah, we're done with the booster. Well, one of my daughters is going to Japan, and she has to get boosted before she goes. And I'm just sick about this, because I think it's I think it's more dangerous than the possibility of COVID. And there are some people who are agreeing with me. Dr. Asim Malhotra, he is a renowned cardiologist. He's in Britain, and he's been named to, you know, many lists of the most significant, most influential doctors in Great Britain. And he has a powerful new paper out that he has done where he has studied the impact of the vaccine. And here he is. He is calling for the immediate suspension of vaccinations for healthy younger people.
The title of my paper is Curing the Pandemic of Misinformation on the COVID mRNA Vaccines Through Real Evidence-Based Medicine. In part one of the paper, I aim to determine, through critical analysis of randomized controlled trial data and real-world evidence, the true benefits and harms of the COVID mRNA vaccines, with special emphasis on the BioNTech Pfizer vaccine. The conclusions are quite sobering. In the non-elderly population, the numbers needed to treat to prevent one COVID death run into the thousands. Reanalysis of randomized controlled trial data from both Moderna and Pfizer reveals one is more likely to suffer a serious adverse event from the COVID-19 vaccines than to be hospitalized with COVID-19.
Okay, thousands and thousands and thousands of people have to get vaccinated to protect them from COVID. But now the data is starting to come in, he says, that shows that the adverse effects of the vaccine is worse than COVID itself. And one thing in particular that they're starting to see in people 16 to 42, well, he's going to give the age range, I don't remember the exact, but he said they're seeing an unusual spike in heart attacks.
Pharmacovigilance data, coupled with plausible biological mechanism of harm, is also deeply concerning, especially in relation to cardiovascular safety. Mirroring a potential signal from Pfizer's phase 3 trial, there is also a significant increase in out-of-hospital cardiac arrests in England in 2021. Data which is also replicated in Israel, with an increase in heart attacks and sudden cardiac death in people aged between 16 and 39, specifically related to the COVID mRNA vaccines and not related to COVID.
Okay, so he is seeing data. He says Israel is seeing data, age 16 to 40 to 39, that they're seeing a spike in heart attacks, and he believes that it is specifically related to the COVID vaccine. Okay, so given this, how in God's name can Jay Inslee tell people between the ages of 16 and 39 in this state that they must inject this into their body if they want to keep their state worker jobs? I mean, this is madness. But Dr. Asim Malhotra, he also talked about why doctors, and I would say politicians as well, why are they doing this?
In part two of the paper, I aim to get to the root cause to understand why authorities and sections of the medical profession supported unethical, coercive, and misinformed policies such as vaccine mandates and vaccine passports, undermining the principles of ethical, evidence-based medicine and informed consent. These regrettable actions are the symptom of the medical misinformation mess, the tip of a mortality iceberg where prescribed medications are now estimated to be the third most common cause of death after heart disease and cancer.
Prescribed medications are the third most frequent cause of death after heart disease and cancer. But the pharmaceutical industry makes hundreds of billions of dollars. And then he said something that I've been saying from the very beginning.
In conclusion of both papers, there is a strong scientific, ethical, and moral case to be made that COVID-19 vaccines rollout must stop immediately until raw data has been released for fully independent scrutiny.
And I will repeat that I think my study of this indicates that for people my age or people with comorbidities, that it still makes sense to get the vaccine, but in my estimation, not the booster. What's the future of all this?
Looking to the future, the medical and public health professions must recognize these failings and eschew the tainted dollar of the medical industrial complex. It will take a lot of time and effort to restore trust in these institutions, but the future and the health of both the medical profession and humanity depend on it.
Oh, do I love that line. We must eschew the tainted dollar from the medical industrial complex. And that's what I think Jay Inslee is all about with this. But there is starting to be a growing amount of data that says for healthy young people, the vaccine is causing more harm than good. And Jay Inslee is still insisting that you must be vaxxed to keep your state job or to get a state job. And this is madness. And this is a politician who has been completely bought off, I believe, by the pharmaceutical industry, the World Economic Forum. As I've been telling you, Jay Inslee is a disciple of the World Economic Forum, and they want to see to what extent they can compel us to live as they dictate, not as we choose. And so I present this to you to just give you another perspective from everything you are bombarded with from our politicians and from our medical industry, that there is another line of thought out there that is, in my view, growing in credibility. And do your own research, make your own decisions. Do what's best for you in your estimation, but don't turn your bodies, and certainly don't turn your children's bodies, over to people like Jay Inslee, because he doesn't care. Up next in the Fastest 15, along the same lines, the CDC has just very quietly, they've lifted the mask advisory for healthcare workers, you know, for the last 2 years. We have two and a half years. If you go to the dentist or you go to the eye doctor or you go to a GP, they have to wear masks. That is the advisory from the CDC. But now, even though COVID is still very present, and I talked to my doctor just a couple of weeks ago, and he said that he's writing a tremendous number of prescriptions for, what is it, ivermectin? What's the drug they're most commonly prescribing now?
That's but one of said, them, yeah.
Yeah, he said that he's still writing, more than ever, of these prescriptions. So COVID's still very present, but the CDC has quietly changed the recommendation. They no longer recommend universal masking in healthcare settings because it wasn't doing anything. It was, how much can we control you? How much will you do what we say, what we insist on? So I will always present you with stories based in fact that you're not going to get anywhere else. And I'll be curious, because Dr. Asim Malhotra, as I said, very respected cardiologist, and I wonder if many in the mainstream media are going to pick up on everything he had to say there. All right, onward in the Fastest 15. All right, what's this airplane story, Nicole? I haven't seen this one. American Airlines. What's going on here?
Well, it's just kind of goofy. I'm not sure why something was wrong. Somebody had taken over audio. They swear it's not hackable because they don't connect to Wi-Fi, but the PA system was projecting something that was obviously not the pilot's, and they still just took off, and everybody had to listen to it the whole flight. Okay, it's very bizarre.
This is an American Airlines flight, and it was interrupted because of strange moaning that the passengers were hearing.
Yeah, moans and strange noises. That's what passengers on a series of American Airlines flights heard over that plane's PA system. From whispering to heavy breathing and moaning, passengers aboard several American Airlines flights have reported hearing a cacophony of disembodied sounds coming from the intercom.
That's a good line.
I know. I thought that's why I kept that in there.
Cacophony of disembodied sounds. I like the alliteration there.
Yeah, I thought that was good.
Okay. Kate Dade is live at LAX with more on the unexplained noises. MB.
Yes, Ed.
Well, how about her gasp? That's an unexplained noise. The gasp of the reporters they tossed
sounds
her.
Coming from the intercom.
Kate Dade is live at LAX with more on the unexplained noises. MB.
Yes, and Sarah and Rick.
Seriously, that's creepier than the sound of the plane.
We spoke to one of the passengers who happened to capture these bizarre moans and groans on his cell phone, and here's his take on all the noise. Emerson Collins.
Well, that's clearly a human, right?
Well, yes. I mean, that's what it sounds like.
But it's not like some bending or twisting.
But it's on multiple planes. It's obviously not the pilots. And they're still like, we're just going to say that's weird and move on with it.
I will
Something is happening.
That would freak me out if I was on that plane.
That would freak me right out. This guy that they talked to says that it was the most entertaining plane he's been on. But I think that would make me nervous.
That would not be entertaining to
me. Can't help but giggle when strange sounds start coming over the PA system on his American Airlines flight.
Someone on this flight seems to have broken into the intercom system.
So they started pre-takeoff, and while we were still
pre-takeoff, and they still took off.
That's weird.
Isn't that bizarre?
Somebody figured out a way to hack in, but how'd they do it on multiple flights?
But they say it's unhackable because it's not connected to Wi-Fi. But it obviously is hackable. I'm not explaining it.
The earliest sound sounded like someone having, shall we say, gastrointestinal issues.
Colin says he was...
Okay, look, I've had gastrointestinal issues in my life. I've never sounded... Wah, wah, wah. That's not how gastrointestinal issues manifest themselves.
Flying from LAX to Dallas on September 6th to produce a writer's festival.
When I jokingly asked the flight attendant, is he okay? Because it definitely sounded like someone being sick. They came on quickly and announced that our flight crew was fine. It was no one on board. Nothing to worry about.
Ladies and gentlemen, we realize... How is that nothing to worry about?
Yeah.
That would worry me quite a bit.
An irritating sound coming over the public announcement. The flight deck is trying to troubleshoot, trying to turn it off. So please be patient with us.
The pilot also assured passengers everything was fine. But American Airlines says their PAs are not connected to Wi-Fi, so there's no way to hack them. Two other passengers on separate American flights have also reportedly said they heard similar noises on their flights recently. American Airlines released a statement about the sound saying, "The PA systems on board our aircraft are hardwired and there's no external access." Following the initial report, our maintenance team thoroughly inspected the aircraft and the PA system and determined the sounds were caused by a mechanical issue with the PA amplifier, which raises the volume of the PA system when the engines are running. Our team is reviewing the additional reports.
All I know is that it was thoroughly entertaining, as the best in-flight entertainment I've had in quite some time.
I don't agree with at all.
So they're saying somebody was making that sound? Was it someone in the bathroom? Who was making the sound?
Clearly it was Satan.
I would have to agree.
Yeah.
I think someone might have just hacked our PA system. I have no control over that. I don't know what to do.
I want God as my co-pilot, but Satan, stay off, man. Step off, dude. Step off. All right, that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast Dory's Fastest 15.
Give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. All right, Brock Huard is going to drop by for his weekly visit. A listener has a fascinating theory as to why the Mariners are stumbling and bumbling these last couple weeks of the season. I'm going to ask Brock about the listener's theory. That'll be next here on the Dory Monson Show.
Here's Dory Monson with Brock Huard, brought to you by IRG Physical and Hand Therapy.
Wednesday afternoon, that's when our friend Brock Huard drops by for his weekly visit. Hey, Brock, what's happening, my brother?
Oh, how are you? I'm glad we're not fighting today. I didn't like last week.
No, although, in all fairness, just before we went on the air, off the air, I said something that annoyed you a little bit.
What?
About the silver coho salmon that I caught last week.
Yeah, we're not going to bring that to the air. We're going to leave the fishing stuff to the fishing people, and I'm not going to let you make a fool of yourself on the air and say that coho salmon silver tastes better than king salmon, the most buttery, richest, fattest fish of the sea. I'm not going to let you do that.
I just said I might have liked it better because it was a little less fishy.
Yeah, because you had to then add your lemon, garlic, butter, lemon, and garlic, everything else.
Okay, you're right. People are annoyed when we talk about this.
Thank you.
The Mariners are stumbling to the finish line.
Dory, this is not good. The Mariners falling flat. This is not good. I came back to radio. Here we go, Mariners. I can't miss this. I got to be a part of it selfishly. This is the first time in 20 years. I did, 12 years of daily radio, and the Mariners just stunk it up. And now, here we go. Julio is the star. And congratulations to him, by the way. Rookie of the year. Not a surprise, but kudos to him. And, the pitching and the stadium is popping once again. And
it might be you. You might be the
jinx. No, I wasn't.
They were fine when you weren't doing daily radio in Seattle.
Nope. I came back. They were good. They won the series versus Atlanta. Took 2 out of 3 from the champs. Nope, don't you dare point it at me. Nope.
Okay, but here's what's going on. They've lost 8 out of 11. In the last 2 weeks, they've had 7 games where they scored either 0 or 1 run. Can I share with you an email that I got from a friend of mine? He's a business owner around here. Name's Mark. And he has a theory that he wanted me to talk about with you. He said that as a volunteer coach and as a business owner who has managed people, the ability to motivate and inspire athletes and workers to perform at their best can be a challenging and fragile thing. As Brock frequently points out, the head games and the psychology of being in a place mentally to perform your best can be particularly difficult. So my question for you and Brock is this: why would you ink lucrative contract extensions to two individual players in the middle of the playoff run when that action could have and should have been taken care of during the offseason? What kind of team unity does that promote when certain players are being rewarded for their performance and others are potentially not? I think that's a really interesting. I don't know the answer, but I think it's a very, very interesting question.
Yes.
So I leave it to you here.
Well, do you want to weigh in and I'll give you my opinion? I've got a pretty firm opinion on this, but do you want to weigh in first?
Yes. I think that my listener friend Mark has a point. I think that in a team game, when you, in the middle of the playoff run, when you sign those big, rich contracts, I think that pro athletes are by their very nature competitive. And when they see their teammates, even though they are about the team, but I think that it could have an effect, maybe even a subconscious effect. But I think that there may be merit to it.
Okay. I would say in a vacuum, there would be some merit. I would say on a football team or a college football team or even a small tight knit basketball team, I would probably even add further merit to it. I think in the game of Major League Baseball, that while it is a team game, it is 25 independent contractors trying to do their own job to help the team win. It is a highly individualistic sport, all measured their individual data and their tracks, all their stats and their averages and everything else. Right. It is of the four major professional team sports. It is by far the most independent contractor work. That's number one. Number two, for this organization, for what they have been through the last 20 years, for the change in ownership that has come about over the last few years, the previous regime even said so publicly, Dory, that they were about the bottom line more than they were necessarily about winning titles.
Right.
And this new regime wants to flush that down the toilet and out the sewage pipes deep into Puget Sound and make sure these fans and these players, more importantly, know that's not the way we're conducting business anymore. If you're productive and you're a star and you're a difference maker, we are going to invest in you and we are going to reward you for that productivity. So I think if anything, for this organization, not for all of them, but for this organization in particular, I think this is a move of goodwill that says to the Jared Kelnicks, the George Kirbys, the Logan Gilberts, the other young players who, if they continue to produce in time, that, yeah, these guys will actually take care of you, which is an employee in a business, as an independent contractor with an umbrella business. I think that can actually create goodwill.
I agree with most of what you say, and I think that for the long run, this is a great thing, because for the last 20 years, no decent free agent who wants to be in a World Series would consider signing with the Mariners.
Correct.
Now, you got Julio, you got Castillo, and now this could be a destination where you can attract the kind of team that can compete year after year. So I agree with all of that, but I also agree with Mark. They should have done it right after the season and sent the message that you guys have earned this, but I think it could have been a little disruptive. You know, one offensive star, one defensive star.
Yeah.
The offensive star isn't contributing right now. The defense star or the pitcher has
been good.
Struggled.
Yeah, he's been okay. Yeah. Okay. And your star player got injured. And No, I do think that there is some merit. I am not totally poo-pooing it. I think there is something to the psychology of it. Is Ty France, who was an all-star, who's having an amazing year. Now, he also had a wrist injury that has affected him, too. Is he trying and gripping the bat a little too tight? Is Mitch Haniger, who hasn't hit a home run in the month of September, just 7 all year, also injured? So, unfortunately, there's kind of other variables that come into play in this. It's not just totally black and white, as most of these conversations are.
Right.
But if I had to land on one or the other, and push comes to shove, and say, okay, what would you have done? I think I'd have gone this route. I think what it tells your fan base, what it tells your independent contractors, and how it primes the pump for more money that they will spend this offseason, right? We're coming near the end of this season. So those free agents you mentioned, and there are some, and they have money to spend, look at and go, I kind of like what they're doing up in Seattle. I kind of, A, like those players. B, I kind of like that they reward them. And C, I can come in and be a difference maker as a bat that they desperately still need, as the numbers have shown this month.
Okay. And here's what I would have done. I would have agreed to the deals. I would have given the handshake. I would have given the verbal assurance. And I would have said, let's announce it the week after the season. But you guys know this is a done deal. Maybe even sign it and say, yeah. But let's not announce it. Yeah. That way it's all about baseball. It's not about individuals. And then you extend the buzz after the season's over. You have all that momentum going into trying to get off-season acquisitions.
Yeah.
So I actually agree with listener Mark. I would have done it differently. I would have done the deals, but I wouldn't have announced it until after the season.
Well, I will say this, listener Mark. This might be one of the first times something from the Cairo FM side is going to make the morning radio on the Seattle sports side, because the two normally don't mix a ton. But I think this is going to be especially if they lose to the Rangers tonight and they don't hit a lick and they can't get anything going. I think that this may be a topic that we dig into on the sports side tomorrow morning.
Okay, I'm going to forward you his email. So
please do.
You'll have it as reference. Mark Graham,
thank you.
Is a good man. All right, Brock, you're off to where this weekend for Fox?
I am off to Waco, Texas. Ooh. So the Oklahoma State undefeated number 9 ranked Cowboys in the country. Head down to, I think, number 16, the Baylor Bears, and a big tilt down there. And, man, did we have a fun one. I don't know what you got to, or what you were doing Saturday night. That game in Norman on Saturday for us as a crew, that is one of those energy givers. An amazing game. Underdog ended up winning, but just an awesome 80,000. Yeah, kind of fuels you and gives you one of those, oh, that's why I'm sitting here reading notes and doing all this work Monday to Friday. Pretty fun.
It's fun. Excellent. All right, man. I'm glad I was able to finally help give you content on your show.
Thank you. And why don't you go enjoy some perch? Try your lemon garlic sauce on some trout. Go get some catfish out of that puddle and see if it tastes as good as that king salmon. Go ahead and give it a shot.
Look, they're both excellent. Don't be so defensive. All right, Brock Heward, you can hear him mornings on 710 Seattle Sport, weekends on Fox Sports College Football. Have a great week. Thank you, buddy.
Will do, Dory. See you.
All right, we got lots more to come as the Dory Monson Show
rolls on, rolls on. There's a cage lock around my heart. Found a way to drop the keys on my
face. Man, looking at pictures out of Florida right now. 1 million people are without power in Florida. Winds are 150 miles per hour. I just saw a shot of Sanibel Island, which is... Man, the streets there look like rivers. Very magical place, Sanibel Island. My wife and I, before we were married, don't tell our girls, went to Florida when we were 25, and we saved. Oh, we saved. We had no money. And there was some airline deal where you could get round-trip airfare if you saved so many UPC codes from toilet paper and paper towels. So we were able to get $99 airfare. Chrysler LeBaron convertible for $99, because that was the closest I could come to the Sonny Crockett car, even though Chrysler LeBaron wasn't even close to the Sonny Crockett car. But went from Orlando to Fort Lauderdale into the Everglades, and we met a couple, and they told us about Sanibel Island. And we were footloose and fancy free and young, didn't have kids, so we just said, well, let's go there. And we drove across Alligator Alley, and I was able to negotiate, because the... It was May, and the rooms were pretty empty at this beautiful hotel. So they gave it to me for like half price, because we couldn't afford the full price. But it's a beautiful place. It's a very unusual island, because Sanibel, most islands are oriented north-south, and Sanibel is oriented east-west. And so it has these sandy beaches. You can walk out like 200 yards, and you're still only knee-deep. But, man, that place is... It's underwater. This is bad. I think Governor DeSantis is doing a press briefing at 2:30, and I would like to carry some of that live if CBS makes it available to us, so we can keep you posted on what's going on. 150 mile an hour winds and 1 million without power right now down in Florida. We'll keep you posted on that. Meanwhile, on CNN, their focus kind of is the hurricane, but really they are just using it to push something else. Here's Don Lemon this morning.
Can you tell us what this is and what effect climate change has on this phenomenon?
Well, we can come back and talk about climate change at a later time. I want to focus on the here and now. We think the rapid intensification is probably almost...
So Don Lemon wants to make this a climate change story. And, you know, his guest says, no, no, this is that's not the story here today. But this is CNN. And, you know, their ratings are in the toilet still. And they say they want to be more moderate. But if you have somebody like Don Lemon as your morning news host, he's going to bring this far left perspective, and he's going to try to make this horrible tragedy of what's going on in Florida a phony, fake climate change story.
Done. There could be a little bit more intensification as it's still over the warm waters of the eastern Gulf of Mexico, but I don't think we're going to get any more rapid intensification. If you look here, you can actually see pretty interesting forming around,
and
that's basically that should arrest.
Listen, I'm just trying to get that. You said you want to talk about climate change, but what effect does climate change have on this phenomenon that is happening now, because it seems these storms are intensifying? That's the question.
I don't think you can link climate change to any one event. Okay. On the whole, on the cumulative, climate change may be making storms worse, but to link it to any one event,
it may not be. So the guest is outstanding, but that's what Don Lemon, he just wants to make it a far left talking point when this is a real serious news story, but it's not just him. Reporter Bill Weir on CNN just an hour or so ago.
Ian is coming. Ian's here. John, we just felt a marked increase in wind speeds within the last 10 minutes or so. We were riding about 40, 50 miles an hour. It was hard to fathom that speed tripling in the next few hours, but we're now getting maybe 70-mile-an-hour gusts here. We're right at the point where US 43 heads across the Peace River here. I'm just in front of the memorial for Hurricane Charlie, which in 2004 devastated about the threats of living on the coast in a rapidly warming planet. As a result of that storm, they were the first community in Florida to put in a climate adaptation plan, a sea level coastal resiliency plan that they're, you know, have been working on for years now, and this will be the test. It's hard to build power lines or building codes for 17-foot storm surge, though. That's the crazy variable here right now. No one has ever seen that, so we don't know what that looks like.
Okay, so that's the CNN storyline today. It's not the sheer human tragedy. It's not the property damage. They're trying to make it a phony climate change story. And this is why the ratings are in the toilet. Chris Wallace, who's making millions from CNN after moving over from Fox, his show debuted last weekend in the 25-54 demo. It had 44,000 viewers. That's like how many listeners we have on the Dory Monson show. Hey, why don't I get millions a year? Cry it out loud. All right, we're going to check the news for you. I'm sure CBS will have more on Hurricane Ian. And then David Rose from Fox 13 will join me, part of the Big Lead at 2, next.